Hello and welcome to episode 379 of the official EstablishTheRun.com podcast. My name is Adam Levitan, as always, joined by Evan Silva. June is here. We're in the middle of a team-by-team four-part series. This is part three. Hopefully you listen to parts one and two. Evan, good afternoon.
West divisions. Let's get after it.
Today is the third part in a four-part series. We're going team-by-team, talking through kind of the biggest thing we're looking for on each team. Before we get into it, have to remind everyone that if you are betting on sports and you are not line shopping, you are in big, big, big trouble, no matter what Evan says. Because, my God, I mean, there are some massive discrepancies, particularly in markets like futures and, you know, odds to lead the NFL in rushing and some of these player props that we're taking. I mean, there are massive, massive differences. If you want to be on more books, go to establishrun.com/offers and you will find your state and the best offers for every book. So not only do you get the best line, but you also get all these ridiculous sign-up bonuses that, trust me, are not going to last. I mean, if you've seen the stock prices of some of these gaming stocks, they're going to start cutting off the customer acquisition machine soon. So get on that. Second, this podcast is indeed sponsored by our friends at Underdog Fantasy. $10 million best ball tournament on a $25 buy-in. $2 million to first, $1 million to second, $1 million to the regular season winner. Absolutely outrageous. Biggest best ball tournament in the history of best ball. If you're not an Underdog yet, use promo code ETR when you sign up and they'll give you a matching deposit bonus up to $100. You can upload our rankings and draft with them and have a ton of fun. All right. Let's get into it here, Evan, with the NFC West. Start with the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, we know DeAndre Hopkins is suspended. The way Rondale Moore was used last year was, I mean, insane. And maybe it's not on Cliff. You know, maybe like they realize they got Rondale Moore and all they can do is throw it to him behind the line of scrimmage. He had the most pathetic average depth of target I think I've ever seen. Like, he makes Cole Beasley's routes look like they're bombs. I mean, we were talking like 1 yard average depth of target to Rondale Moore. My question, and what I'm watching for, hopefully in preseason, hopefully in training camp, can Rondale do more than just catch the ball behind the line of scrimmage and try to get 3 or 4 yards on screens? Evan, any thoughts on Rondale, what Arizona's going to do without DeAndre Hopkins, and anything else on the Cardinals?
Another very difficult guy to rank right now. You know, I was listening to George Chiruri and Eric Eager on the PFF Forecast podcast, and they recently were doing coach rankings. And they had Cliff Kingsbury in the bottom tier. They had 8 tiers, and they had Cliff Kingsbury in the 8th tier. You know, yeah, I mean, this is a guy people were talking about for Coach of the Year, you know, halfway through last season. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know what to say about Rondale Moore. Like, I think he should play running back. You know, I think he's Austin Eckler, and he should play running back. But I don't know how they're going to use him this year. You know, we saw what they did last year. It was extremely frustrating from a fantasy standpoint. Because DeAndre Hopkins is suspended for the first 6 games, does that mean that Rondale Moore is going to have an expanded route tree? I have no idea. You know, maybe we can get some coach speak to go on with this, but I'm throwing my hands up. Really hard guy to rank. Maybe the hardest guy to rank.
You mentioned the running back room. I mean, they could use running back help, man. I mean, James Conner has been injury prone. His ADP is 31st overall. They added Darrell Williams, who I don't think is much more beyond the replacement level NFL running back. And by the way, people are buying the shower narrative big time on Marquise Brown and Kyler Murray. Marquise Brown up to 36th overall in ADP. We have him 40th overall on Marquise Brown. Let's go to...
Hey, I wanted to talk a little bit about James Conner, though, because he's a guy that I find I'm ranking really high.
Okay.
I mean, because his primary competition right now is Darrell Williams, right? Yep. I mean, would probably be the favorite for the number two running back. We know that Darrell Williams is really, really limited.
Yeah.
And James Conner was awesome last year. This offense fits him to a T. He can absolutely catch passes. He showed last year that he... you know, could stay healthy for the majority of the season, although he did, he had ankle problems turn up late in the year. His durability history, though, is, you know, continues to be concerning, but he looks like he's set up for a ton of work in an offense that can be explosive.
Yeah. I mean, if you guaranteed me 17 games of James Conner, he's going to beat his ADP, which is around 32 right now. It's just really hard.
First round production, if you could guarantee that.
Yep. Let's go to Los Angeles Rams, Super Bowl champion. Los Angeles Rams. You know, What I'm wondering on the Rams is that Cam Akers performance when he came back last year, was that the new Cam Akers or was that just because he was still hurt? Because, I mean, he looked like he was running with a piano on his back for a lot of that stretch. They still won the Super Bowl despite it. And they showed a lot of commitment to him. I mean, he came back and he went right into the lead role, even though he wasn't playing well. So was that a fluke on Cam Akers? He's now had a full offseason of health. Maybe he gets back to some explosive nature. What do you think about him and anything else on the Rams?
Yeah, that's a good question because they didn't add much. They did draft Kieran Williams in the fifth round, but I think he's going to be more of like a special teamer, number three type back, Theo Riddick, that sort of level of player. They let go of Sony Michel. Darrell Henderson returns as the number two. The opportunity is there for Cam Akers. But again, you know, we've never seen a running back successfully return from a torn Achilles in the matter of time that he has been, you know, the distance between the injury and now. Yep. Deontay Foreman, I would say, successfully did return from a torn Achilles, but it took him like 4 or 5 years to come back from that 2017 ACL or Achilles tear. So that still kind of hangs over the head of Cam Akers and also James Robinson in Jacksonville. We'll talk about them on the final of these four podcasts.
Yeah. I mean, Darrell Henderson is going like 148th overall. If you think that there's going to be a timeshare, if you think that Cam Akers can't get there, I mean, Darrell Henderson at 148, I think is a worthy flyer to be mentioned.
Very good pick. Because then the next guy up is Kieran Williams, and the next guy up after that is Jake Funk. Yeah. I mean, if something happens to Cam Akers, Darrell Henderson is back in the driver's seat.
For sure. Yeah, and I mean, they could get to camp and realize that like Cam Akers is not the guy he was anymore, you know? So San Francisco. Obviously, whatever he's talking about San Francisco is, you know, how good is Trey Lance? How good will Trey Lance be? How much will they let him throw? How much will he run? I mean, we have a pretty optimistic projection on Trey Lance. We talked about him a ton. You know, he had 16 carry game that he started last year. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that makes him move. My other question here is on George Kittle. You know, we saw some really low floor games and we saw some massive games for George Kittle last year. It's hard for me to feel good about George Kittle consistently getting targets, but man, when he does, it's just pure sex. So two things that I'm looking at there. We also talked about the running backs last week on the pod. Anything else for you on San Francisco?
The rhetoric from the players around the team is that Jimmy Garoppolo has been like walled off. Like they're not, you know, he's not even in the rooms. He's not, you know, being really treated as a guy that's going to be a part of the team in 2022. He is rehabbing a severe injury, a major shoulder surgery, but it seems like they are just putting themselves, the 49ers are putting themselves in a position where they're like forcing themselves to commit to Trey Lance, which is probably the right thing to do after all they traded to go get him. Yeah. But I think that in any event, and they're already one of the run heaviest teams in the league, they're going to be super run heavy if Trey Lance is their quarterback, at least coming out the gate, because I don't think Kyle Shanahan trusts Trey Lance, and he's going to have to earn that trust on the field, but he's going to have to do it with limited pass attempts, a lot of rushing attempts. That can be really good in fantasy. It's not going to be great for the guys in the pass catcher core for San Francisco.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's been some debate I've seen about Eli Mitchell. I mean, I know one thing for sure. I don't know if Eli Mitchell can sustain. I don't know how many passes he's going to catch. But Kyle Shanahan loves and trusts Eli Mitchell. Like, that was very, very clear last year. Let's go to Seattle. The thing that strikes me here is, like, the gap between Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And I know that we've talked about this, and I think Evan's on the DK Metcalf side. But, man, for me, there's 46 spots in ADP between DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf is going around 43rd overall. Tyler Lockett is going 89th, 90th overall. I mean, that is a massive gap for two guys who have often been close throughout their career. I get the Russ stuff, but I guess what I'm watching in Seattle is how will DK Metcalf fare with Drew Lock or Geno Smith, whoever ends up starting. I think the assumption is that DK Metcalf's talent will shine through, and maybe that's true, but I don't want to be completely out on Tyler Lockett either if he's going to go 90th overall. I mean, that's really late, so... Go ahead on Seattle, Evan.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling on the separation between those two receivers is that DK Metcalf is the alpha athlete. you know, the guy who can make up for like bad passes from his quarterbacks. And he's going to get a lot of bad passes from his quarterbacks this year, because I think it's going to be a musical chairs with Geno Smith and Drew Lock. And he's going to have to go get errant footballs. Tyler Lockett can do that too. But I think that Tyler Lockett was more dependent upon the deep ball accuracy and the trust factor of Russell Wilson than was DK Metcalf. Both these guys are going to be frustratingly inconsistent. You want to talk about a team that wants to run the ball. Yeah. And might, you know, again, had the fewest plays run in the league offensively. These guys are going to be frustrating players to own this year. I mean, people have been frustrated about Tyler Lockett for years because they don't love dealing with the spikes, you know, and the highs and the lows. And I get it. It's going to be even worse now.
By the way, Noah Fant, I think, is an interesting option. I mean, very, very, very good athlete and pass catcher, major size. We're about 20 spots ahead of ADP on Noah Fant. He's like free. I mean, you can get Noah Fant 170th overall right now. So
I am so low in my rankings. Like,
yeah, I mean, nobody
maybe I'll be wrong about it, but I don't know. I just, it's tough to see because I'm with you on his individual talent. It's just the offense and Will Disley and I don't know if it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, there's no opportunity cost. I mean, again, 170th overall is the ADP on Noah Fant. Speaking of tight ends, let's go to the AFC West. And I know I like Albert O. Everybody likes Albert O. The thing that I'm watching in camp is how much does Greg Dulcich kind of mix in? Greg Dulcich is not a blocker. I don't even know if they can ask him to block. I mean, this dude runs routes. That's like all he did in college is run routes and catch passes. And they drafted him with pretty good draft capital for a tight end. So I'm not ready to sit here and say that Greg Dulcich is not going to play. And if he does play, well, he's the pass catching tight. I mean, he's the pass catcher more than Albert O is. Now, I don't want to say bad things about Albert O, because Albert O is a guy that I definitely really, really like. That's just something that I'm watching there. How much will Dulcich mix in preseason with the first team? What are you seeing on Denver?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to note that Jerry Jeudy got cleared, and I think he's practicing. Yeah. So it seems like he's all systems go. A little scare there, but yeah, Albert O, I mean, an incredible talent, and there's a new coaching staff there, you know, and they were not there when Albert O was drafted. They were there when Greg Dulcich got drafted.
Yeah.
So these are the kind of things to keep in mind. This will be a team to monitor closely in training camp.
By the way, Evan, I don't know if we talked about Melvin Gordon re-signing. I think we did, actually, but the ADPs are settling now. Melvin Gordon, 110 ADP. Javonte Williams, 25. Now, I mean, I love Javonte Williams. I think he's an awesome pick. We have him 28th overall. I mean, the market is in love with Javonte and hates Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon played fine last year, and obviously, like,
he was good.
He was good. It's hard for me to see them just completely kicking Melvin Gordon to the curb, but I think the market is assuming that to some extent. What do you think about Melvin at 110 versus Javonte at 25?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of painful to say, but Melvin Gordon's a value and Javonte Williams is not, period. Yeah. You know, now the deal that Melvin Gordon came back on, I believe it was 1 year, $2.5 million or something like that. I mean, it wasn't very much. Again, new coaching staff. Maybe this new coaching staff will commit to Javonte Williams more so than did Melvin Gordon. But Melvin Gordon is a guy that coaches will trust, you know, and I think he had either the highest yards per touch or the second highest yards per touch of his career last season. He was breaking tackles. He's functional in the passing game as both a blocker and a receiver. I mean, you know, at this stage of his, like, he's the kind of guy that coaches like, you know, a proven veteran who's solid.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to end up playing a lot more than people expect. I mean, that's how I kind of view it.
Yeah, I know. And you know, the market being so all in Javonte is the only issue. Like, if Javonte was going like 30th, 35th, it's like a no-brainer. But 25th overall gives me some pause. And I don't want to be out on Javonte Williams at that number, but, you know, it just gives me some pause, I would say. Let's go to Kansas City. Question for me, of course. We haven't talked about the age model a lot this offseason. Travis Kelce will be 33 in October. Now, the opportunity, as Evan mentioned on a previous show, is massive with Tyreek Hill gone. I mean, absolutely massive. And I don't think that Travis Kelce is like getting ready to fall off a cliff or anything like that. I just think that there's some chance he's slowing down slightly. But man, it's hard not to project Travis Kelce for an insane amount of targets. And so like when you're doing projections, you're going to end up with, no matter what you think about Travis Kelce's age or whatever, you're going to end up with an outrageous Travis Kelce projection because it's hard to give anybody else a huge, huge target share. Obviously, we've seen it on Kelce. So my question is Kelce still Travis Kelce at age 33 with so much of Kansas City's offense relying on him? What do you think about that? Anything else on Kansas City?
Yeah, I think you got to keep smashing the button on Travis Kelce. And I share some of your concerns, but you look at the rest of this pass catcher core and it's a bunch of role players. Juju Smith-Schuster, role-playing slot receiver, hasn't been good in a few years. Mecole Hardman is the classic outside vertical perimeter role player. Sky Moore has a chance to be more, I think, but he's also a second-round pick who was passed over by a lot of receiver-needy teams. So I think you keep smashing the button on Travis Kelce, period. And you don't think about, I mean, this is Patrick Mahomes' alpha target, you know, yeah. And that's really all we need to know.
Yeah. We have Kelce one among tight ends right now, 10th overall, Mark Andrews two at 15th overall. I mean, obviously close, but both very, very good players. And you know, we talked about it a little bit when we talked about the Ravens, I tend to agree that I would give Kelce the slight nod over Mark Andrews. Let's go to Las Vegas. You know, the Davante Adams thing is the question. How much of Davante Adams' dominant fantasy performance in recent years has been A, chemistry with Aaron Rodgers, B, Aaron Rodgers having no one else to throw to, period. Now he goes to Vegas where he certainly has chemistry a long time ago with Derek Carr. I think that'll be fine, but they do have Hunter Renfrow. They do have Darren Waller. And Derek Carr is not Aaron Rodgers in terms of efficiency. So Davante Adams stuff, you know, and we've been talking about it in the projections team, like being lower than market on Davante Adams is something that I am fine with. I believe Evan is there as well. Mm-hmm. Anything else for you on Las Vegas, Evan?
Yeah, in the initial top 150, I put Davante Adams number 17 overall. I believe his ADP is right around 10 in this MFL 10 of death that I'm doing. After I took Dalvin Cook at number 7, Danny Carter took Davante Adams at number 8. Mm-hmm. Now, this tends to be a little bit wide receiver heavy draft. Denny Carter absolutely drafts the shit out of wide receivers. He's a classic spreadsheet socialist. But
and that's full PPR.
Yeah, and that's full PPR, of course. But he's kind of all around the board. I'm lower than consensus on him, though, because I think the target competition there is real. I don't think Hunter Renfrow is some bum.
Yeah.
And we know that Darren Waller can play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm below consensus on Davante Adams, at least a little bit.
We haven't mentioned Josh Jacobs. I believe the news on Josh Jacobs like a month ago is they declined his fifth-year option. I don't know that affects really too much for his projection for this year at all. But what do you think about the backfield? They did draft Zamir White. They have Kenyon Drake there. Josh Jacobs' ADP is around 61st overall right now.
Yeah, they drafted two running backs. They also took Britton Brown in the 7th round. I think they're going to use a committee backfield. You know, that's kind of been Josh McDaniels' history. And there's no strong reason to believe, especially after they brought back Kenyon Drake and they drafted two running backs, I think every reason to believe that it's going to be like a two- or three-way committee.
Yeah. I mean, the thing on the rookies, though, is like maybe they're just planning when Josh Jacobs walks, which they'll almost certainly let him walk after this year.
You draft running backs for the future?
I mean, you know, I wouldn't, but...
I wouldn't. Right, exactly.
All right, last one we're going to do here today is Los Angeles Chargers. Question for me is on Keenan Allen, because there's so many pieces on this team, and depending on how big of a target share you give Keenan Allen, it starts to get a little bit hazy at ADP for some of these other guys. Last 8 games of last year, Keenan Allen only produced 538 yards. I mean, that is not much for a guy who was still seeing a really high share of targets. They give Big Mike Williams the big contract. I like Josh Palmer. We know Eckler is going to play in the past game. They bring in Gerald Everett. They have Donald Parham. I mean, there's a lot going on here. But if you think that Keenan Allen is like declining or whatever, then there's more room for guys like Josh Palmer, Big Mike, tight ends, whoever else, to really succeed. Now, I think everyone will have success because Justin Herbert's an absolute baller. But the Keenan Allen thing I think is interesting to me, at least. What do you think about Keenan this year and anything else on the Chargers?
Yeah, you know, I've loved Keenan for a really long time. His yards per route run has decreased every year over like the last 4 or 5 years. Yeah. So I think that and he's right at that 30-year-old threshold. Mm-hmm. So I had a hard time ranking who would I put higher, Mike Williams or Keenan Allen. I feel like it's going to be that Keenan Allen will come out real solid early in the season. He'll start to wear down and then Mike Williams will kind of take over. You know, I could see a scenario like that. I wound up ranking Keenan Allen higher than Mike Williams initially, but I'm going back and forth on it. How would you treat that situation?
Oh, I would have Keenan Allen ahead, but slightly. And that's how the market has it. I mean, the market has Keenan 27th and Mike Williams 30th in ADP. And by the way, there is no bargains on the Chargers. I mean, ADP's Eckler 6, Keenan 27, Mike Williams 30, Herbert 43. I mean, you are not getting any bargains at all, except on Josh Palmer, who is going 164th. We actually have him 136th. I mean, we're way ahead on Josh Palmer, who had some good games last year. But yeah, I mean, it's crowded. There's a lot of mouths to feed, but Justin Herbert can definitely feed them at least.
Yeah. And I mean, Josh Palmer, he might be their number four because they've got Jalen Guyton, who they like to play because he can run streaks down the field.
Yep. All right. That is going to do it for this West Division team by team look. We'll be back for part four. It will be the NFC South and the AFC South. Stay tuned for that. For Evan, for producer Luke, I'm Adam. Good luck, everybody.